Hello, and welcome to St. Stephen's Baptist College Age and Young Adult Ministries podcast. We are so blessed and happy to have y'all here. The goal of this podcast is to touch God's children, to answer questions Christians may ask themselves, and to talk about our journey as being a young adult Christian. We hope that this episode touches you and makes you ask questions about your walk and helps deepen your relationship with God. We thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast and welcome you. So grab a snack, a notepad, and a seat as we dive into today's episode. And before we get into the nitty-gritty of the podcast, I'd like to give a big thank you to St. Stephen's Baptist Church for sponsoring our podcast. Thank you, Dr. Reverend Kevin W. Cosby, for consistently preaching that word into us. Thank you for filling our spirits and giving us a platform to have this podcast. Can we please give St. Stephen and Dr. Cosby a big hand of applause and a clap of appreciation? Just say thank you. Thank you. All right. And now, guys, today, the question we're going to be answering is, what does it mean to be a Christian? I have a few questions and conversation pieces to see what it means to be a Christian. But before we get into the first episode, I just want to introduce everyone around the room. First, I'd like to say my name is Jaden Booker. I've been with St. Stephen's Baptist for the better part of 5 years. I'm on the college age and young adult ministry. I'm also in training to be a deacon. And am I here with Miss Amira? Say what's up, Miss Amira.
Hey, y'all. My name is Amira Myatt. I'm an Army officer, and I've been coming to St. Stephen's for about a year now. My titles in the church, I guess, is I'm the chapel choir secretary.
Amen. Hey, y'all. She can sing, too, now. You don't need to be humble now. Introduce yourself. Yeah.
I'm also a committee chair for the young adult ministry. I serve on the hospitality ministry and some other things.
No, she do it all, y'all. Yeah,
you need me, I'm there.
There it is. And welcome, Miss Amira. Thank you for being on the podcast with me. Getting back into it, we're going to be answering the question, what it truly means to be a Christian. Miss Amira, what does it mean to be a Christian to you?
To me, I believe that being a Christian is fully and wholeheartedly accepting Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal savior, but also exuding those characteristics that we do find in Jesus and Amen. Also those fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how you say first accepting Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, Christ and Savior. I think that's an important step into being a Christian. And then I like how you ended off on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is very important. And that's kind of some things we're going to get into. If you don't mind, I'm going to read a scripture from the text. This reading is coming from John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 from the Amplified Bible. 12 starts off by saying, "But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the right, the authority, the privilege to become children of God. That is, to who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name, who were born not of blood, natural conception, nor of the will of the flesh, physical impulses, nor of the will of man, natural father, but of God, that is a divine and supernatural birth. They were born of God, spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified." Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to do a little breakdown of that scripture, and especially for those who, you know, might be new to the Christian faith, haven't been there yet, or you might be an OG in the Christian game. You already know what we about to say. But first, I just want to talk about when it says, how do we receive God? Verse 12 says, "For those who receive him, he gave the right to become children of God." How do you receive God? How did you receive God?
I think the best way to explain mine is kind of like a two-parter. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up in church.
Right.
So, you know, as a little kid, like, you know, like, oh, yeah, I believe in Christ. You know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, praying grandmother. And
like, amen.
You understand who God is and who Jesus is, but like you just don't have this idea of like a relationship with him.
Right, right.
Yeah. And then I'm sitting in church one day.
Okay.
And someone's praying and I just feel this.
That Holy Spirit.
Like this rush come over me.
Oh, man.
And I know this sounds crazy to some people because they just haven't experienced that.
Yeah. Hey, when you guys experience that Holy Spirit, you will understand.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
But yeah, that rush just come over me. And in that moment, I'm like, oh, I do understand who Christ is. I do understand who God is.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a relationship with him myself.
Right.
And I did already believe that he was my personal savior.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like having an emergency phone number.
Okay.
But you don't know who you call it.
Huh.
Type thing.
I like that.
You know?
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, my story is a little different than that, but I do like when you were talking about when that Holy Spirit came and hit you and you understood, like you said, you knew of God, you knew of Jesus, but you didn't have a relationship with him. And having a relationship with God is so important. That's how you truly grow in God. And just to put something in the grasp of your mind, you know, the only way we could talk about God is making him. I think the word for it is anthropomorphically talking about him, putting him in terms of him being a human.
Yeah.
You know, like we have to talk down about God for us to understand him. So let me try to get this grasp into everybody. The God who reached into nothing and created
everything,
who created the sun that heats the earth up. Just imagine how hot and on fire and how almighty and how loving and caring he is. How I could feel the Holy Spirit from church and it'll make me jump out of myself. Like, and I'll just praise God. Just that same God I'm talking about wants to have a intimate relationship with you.
Yeah.
And he's not going to force you. You know, you might get in some relationships and it might be forced. You might need to do something. He's not going to force you into that relationship.
Yeah.
He gives you unconditional love no matter what you do. But I want you to just think of him wanting to have that relationship with you. And he's the only way you're going to grow in him and in that relationship is you coming to him. He's not going to force you.
Yeah. He's not going to force you, but he will steer you.
He will steer. Yeah. Yeah. You know, he is a shepherd now. You know, he got the staff and he got the rod. He can pull you, you know. I'm a little hard headed. He gave me some hits a couple times, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, that's love.
Yeah.
That's fatherly love, you know? Yeah.
And I think also it's important to remember that receiving God and receiving Christ is a continuous thing.
Amen. Yeah.
That's a continuous process. It's an everyday choice that you make
when
you open your eyes in the morning that you say, the breath that's in my lungs was breathed into me by God. And because there are some people that, like I said, when you're younger, you're growing up in church.
Right.
And then you might get away from the church house.
Yes.
But you always have the opportunity to come back unto God and unto Christ.
Yeah. He's never going to leave you.
Yeah. Regardless of where you are in life. And I think that's so powerful about God is that he's also pursuing God.
Yes.
Like he will meet you where you are.
Mm. Amen.
Exactly where you are. To get you where he needs you to be, to fulfill his will.
Yeah, and when he finds you and he leads you, he's not only going to meet you where you are, but he's going to give you everything you need to get there.
Yeah,
you know, no matter where you're at, you know, and that's so empowering. If you don't mind, I'd like to transition a little bit to my personal journey when I received God. Growing up, you know, my family wasn't the most religious. In a black household, we believed in God.
Yeah.
You don't believe in nothing else, you know. And I think that was very important. But like how you said, the relationship with God, I knew more of the name, and I knew, like, you know, God created the earth, he created everything. Mm-hmm. I know Jesus was his son, he died for our sins, but I didn't have a relationship with him. And it wasn't until I moved out to Kentucky, this was about like in 20, in like, yeah, I literally moved in 2020. Mm-hmm. I moved out to Kentucky, and I was invited to a church by a friend, and it was a very small church. It was you know, they were very just family like, you know. And I got into that church, and they had me speak up, and I was real nervous. I didn't know God like that. And I said something that it's kind of profound to me now, because I didn't know the meaning of it when I said it. But to everybody, I said I was looking for salvation, because I didn't know it at that time, but I was lost in the world, mm-hmm. you know. And I just want to say to anybody out in the audience and everything, this is my testimony that, again, no matter where you are, you could be lost in the world. You could be hurt. You could be sick. You could be stuck. You could be crying, depressed, anxious, anything. God will find, he will meet you where you are and bring you out. You know, he did it for me, and I know there's no reason why he will not do it for you. Back on track.
But that's so powerful.
Yeah, when he found me, you know, and it's just, I kept going to that service and moving up. I actually used to play music. I ended up playing music for them. I played a little bit of guitar for the band and everything. It was a nice experience. And I think the next shift in my journey was when I moved to St. Stephen's Baptist, where I'm currently at now. That's when I started to really get that intimate relationship mm-hmm. with God, like I was talking about. I started studying the word, listening to a lot of gospel music. Yeah, I got like 200 hours on this gospel playlist. We could jam out anytime, you know?
Right.
And, and it's just, it's a continuous journey. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy walk. I don't want to deter anybody, but I'm not going to lie to you guys either. It's not an easy walk. There was a lot of sacrifices. There was a lot of hurt, pain, some people you got to let go, because that walk is not for everybody. But there hasn't been a single day where I look back and I'm like, you know, I wish I would have never. No. He's done amazing things for me. He's opened so many doors. He's closed a lot of doors. Hallelujah.
Thank God for that.
That's a thank you right there. He's closed a lot of doors, and it was just amazing for yeah. me, you know? Yeah. Let's go back to where it says verse 12. Yeah, we received, you have the right, and he gave you the right to become children of God.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming a child of God. There's a reason why we call the Lord our God. He has goes by many names, but the name I'm going to focus on is our Father.
Yeah.
I have a personal belief. I think I possibly heard a couple sermons about it, that that's God's favorite name to be called, is our Father.
Yeah.
Because he is our Father. He's created everything. And when you think of a father, yes, you have a physical dad. You have a physical dad. He gave birth to you. You know, you're here. But the spiritual symbolism of being our Father is profound. Not only did he create you perfectly in his way, in completely unique from anything. Like, there's no two same snowflakes. There's no two same you.
Mm-hmm.
Create you perfectly, and he loves you. He'll always watch over you. He'll protect you. He'll guide you. But it's just think of the love of a father that he has for a kid. And I'm not even starting on spiritual birth yet, the spiritual rebirth, you know?
Yeah. And to that, mm-hmm. when you're talking about that God created us, we were one of God's last creations.
Mm. Say that.
He created a perfect world
Say that.
For us before he created us. Yeah. So everything that we need, he thought about it
right
before he just put us out in the world.
Amen.
And
in his image.
In his image.
In his image.
Hello.
And that's something totally crazy.
Yeah. And I think that part kind of leads into mm-hmm. our right to be a child of God.
His child, yes.
And, you know, we have a lot of rights.
Right.
Regardless of
yeah.
people's personal opinions. But just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean that people take the opportunity to exercise it, right?
Yes.
Like, we legally have a right to vote, and some people choose not to exercise it. But the right is still there.
And I like that. I like that because it is a right, and how you took the voting, it's a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice whether you're going to be a child of God. Are you going to be the child of the man who created everything? And at the same time, when it is your choice, I do want you to humble yourself a little bit too and understand that you are his child.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a single person who was just not made by him for him in his perfect image.
Yeah, it's really just a choice to decide whether or not you're going to walk in that identity that he has already called you
for. Are you going to accept that or are you not?
Yeah.
Let's go to verse 13 where it says, "Who were born not of blood, flesh, nor of man, but born of God." Mm-hmm. Being born in the world, let's park right there where it says born not of blood, flesh, nor of man. When we're talking about being born with God, we're talking about a second birth, a rebirth. And that's a common theme many people have in the Bible. I've had my second birth when I was talking about when I was in the world and I'm a completely different person, mm-hmm. you know. That's a spiritual rebirth. And when I talk about that, I'm not talking about the birth in the sense of your father and your mother get together and they conceive you. You know, that's your first birth. That's what I mean by a worldly birth. That's what it means by, you know, by blood, flesh, or of man, a man who took his impulses and have that birth. You know, in this sense, we're talking about the rebirth, and it's not going to be you somehow turning zero again and starting over. It's not going to be you just deciding to do different. This isn't like a New Year's resolution birth. This is a birth of spirit. A lot of times, you know, we're a Baptist church. It's symbolized with baptism. Mm-hmm. I've been baptized recently, actually, last year.
And we love that.
That was the symbol for me of my rebirth. It was a complete change of my lifestyle, where I was. Like I said, some people I had to let go of, people who I was hanging out with who just wasn't fitting where God was trying to place me.
Right.
And I had to let go of a lot of things. And another thing about that spiritual rebirth is letting not only the, you know, you talk about physical water, but the spirit of God come within you.
Mm-hmm.
And you humble yourself to the will of that spirit, the will of God,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think all that applies. And
mm-hmm.
I know we're talking in John 1:12-13.
Yeah.
But even when we're going through our day-to-day life, my favorite scripture is Romans 12.
Go ahead.
Specifically the first verse.
Yeah.
And it says, pretty much in prayer phrasing, mm-hmm. is that you present your body as a living sacrifice unto God, right? So that, and then it goes on to say that you shall prove that perfect will of God.
Yeah.
And that also just goes back to our choice, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
Like you have to choose to continually be
yes
in God.
Yes. Yes.
And
you have to burden that cross. You have to burden that cross.
And I think mm-hmm. that is part of your rebirth as well.
Right.
Like before your rebirth in God, you may be living of the world. You may be doing your own thing.
You're right.
But once you decide to be rebirthed in God, you really have to practice, or should start practicing, walking in God's purpose that he has for you.
Yes.
So that it can be fulfilled in his will.
Amen.
And also, when you're talking about humbling, God does not need you, Jaden, me, Amira, to do his will. Ooh. He has chosen to give us an opportunity to participate in it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And with that, you don't have to be perfect to do so. You just have to be willing to be born again and understand what God's will is.
Heavenly Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy will be done on earth
as it is in heaven.
Park right there.
I'm not saying you should start there, stop there, but it could.
Yeah.
Because everything else after that,
yeah,
as long as this wills, it, as long as it's in God's will, mm-hmm, it will be done.
Yes. Yes.
Whether it's me, Amira, you, Jaden.
Yeah.
You, Craig, if you're listening. My mama, my daddy.
Amen. Anybody.
God gonna make it happen.
Right.
Either way.
He has two wills. He has his perfect will, and for when Jaden messes up, when you mess up, when anyone listening messes up, he has his prevailing will.
Right.
It's because he's already seen it coming.
Right.
He already knows we're not perfect. And I'm thankful he don't ask for us to be perfect.
Right. Because, where would I be?
And just to recap on that, being a children of God is important. It's about being born again. It's about letting the Spirit of God come into you and take over your life. It's about receiving Jesus as your personal Savior in Christ. You know, we're not talking about physical birth. We're not talking about conceiving another. It's the caterpillar in a cocoon metaphor. It's fighting, it's praying, it's a whole change of a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You're already a child of God. Accept it. Be born again and just receive Jesus. Any extra notes on that?
Yeah. No, the caterpillar thing is crazy. Because I don't think a lot of people really realize,
yeah,
that once you see a caterpillar turn into a butterfly and they're trying to get out of, right, their cocoon, that if you help them out of it,
it'll mess it all up.
They'll die.
It'll mess it all up.
And not to say, because we all need people around us to help us.
Amen.
God has placed people in our lives,
amen,
for that exact reason.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about a rebirth, mm-hmm, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, God is going to, you might hit a wall. You might, yeah, do a little struggle.
Yeah.
You might even wrestle with God like Jacob did.
Amen. I'd put my head down to say amen. Let me just be truthful. Yeah.
Yeah, but you come out a new creature.
Yeah.
In a creature in God. Yeah. And that's what he invites us to do.
I want to end off on the caterpillar and cocoon thing too. And I do just want to say that when the caterpillar is in the cocoon, during that specific stage, nothing from the outside is helping the caterpillar. He's formed a hard layer with that cocoon, and he focuses purely on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's what's on the inside of that cocoon that helps him break out and ultimately fly away. And I'm gonna stop right there because we need to hit this time. But hey,
I was just about to say, God's, yeah, always in it.
come on.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and transition over to our second question of the day. And this is going to be coming from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. And I got this coming from the New American Standard Bible. 22 starts out with saying, "The fruit of the Spirit is love." Let me say that one more time. I'm sorry, I said that a little fast. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with a passion and desires, with its passions and desires. And 25 ends us off saying, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let's ponder over some of those parts. Now, that was a couple verses about the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And okay, let's just start from the top. Verse 22 and 23. Let the Spirit grow inside you. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about the rebirth and letting God's Spirit come within you. Now, let's not stop. As we said, it's a continuous journey. Let's grow the Spirit. How do you grow the Spirit? How do you personally grow the Spirit within you? God's Spirit within you. What are some things you can do?
I think in your prayer time, you ask for
that
God.
That prayer muscle got to be strong, y'all.
Right.
For all my men out there, that's your bench press, your push-ups. And you want it to look good, so do some bicep curls too, all
right? Right.
That's how I look at it.
But yeah, I think prayer, fasting. But to the prayer point, I think you have to ask God to... He has already planted the seeds in you.
Yes.
For these fruit.
Yes.
But I think you have to ask him to prune away the things
wow.
that hinder the growth of your spirit.
Amen. Wow.
And in fasting and you're hearing from God mm-hmm. and also just walking with him. Because when you're going throughout your day, the fruits really... I think God is funny. Okay.
He can be funny sometimes.
He has a very good unique
sense of humor.
Sense of humor.
Yeah.
So sometimes in the morning I'll be like, ah, God, I need your help
right.
in my patience.
Right, right.
And obviously God is not.
All right, guys, and look who just came in. We have Miss Candace Bell. Say what's up, y'all. Can we get a hand clap for Miss Candace as well?
Hi, I'm Candace.
Hello, Candace. And can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah,
give a little introduction for the audience.
So, again, I'm Candace. I have been a member of St. Stephen's for 20 years.
Amen.
I started out in Southern Indiana. Kind of go back and forth between Southern Indiana and Louisville. I've been involved in different ministries over the year, youth ministry, young adult ministry, and professionally I am a therapist.
Wow.
Mental health, not occupational.
Guys, yeah, I don't know, but I see a trend of just having some very talented and very motivated people in St. Stephen's Baptist, and I feel a little outnumbered here because a lot of them seem to be females.
Hey.
It's Women's Month. You know, we got to give it to our girls. We love y'all. And thank you, Miss Candace. We were just talking about Galatians, and we were coming from verse 22 and 23. We were talking about how important it is to let the Spirit grow inside of you, the Spirit of God. When I was talking, we just got done talking about how it's important to have that rebirth, a rebirth in the Spirit of the God, and ways to let the Spirit grow within you. Mr. Mira, how are some ways to let the Spirit grow within inside you?
I think in prayer,
yes.
And then in your prayer time, I think also reflection on yourself, because if you don't have anything to pray about, what you praying about?
Hey, that prayer muscle got to be strong, y'all.
Yeah.
You know, for my men out there, that prayer muscle, it got to be your bench press.
Mm-hmm.
It got to be your push-ups. And you know, you want them biceps to look good, too. Do some curls. That's that prayer muscle right there.
Yeah, and I think also in your prayer time.
Yes.
Because we are talking about fruit.
Right.
We got to ask God to prune away the things that are going to hinder the growth of those fruit.
Yeah.
And God does it in very funny ways sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can say that.
You'll be like, God, I need help with patience.
Right.
And God's not just going to give you patience. He's going to give you opportunities to exercise your patience.
Mm-hmm.
And you might get halfway through your day and you're like, I missed it.
Yeah.
Ms. Candace, what are some ways you practice growing the fruit of the Spirit within you?
Are we talking about a specific one or just the fruits of the Spirit in general?
It could be anywhere. Like, how do you personally, you know, God has came in and filled you with the Spirit, and the metaphor of a seed and it being a tree. How do you grow that, you know, personally?
So, similar to what Amir mentioned, which was prayer.
Yeah.
And also just in how you present yourself. So that even, so when we think about when the first one is love, right? So if everything you do is guided by love, all the other things should ideally come right along with it.
Amen.
So when you start out in that type of thought, is that difficult sometimes? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. However, when you think about God who is love, right? Kind of will guide you in how you approach people, things, and all of that, so that being guided by the fruits of the Spirit will just be, should be natural.
Yes.
If that's your focus of putting love first.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I like your emphasis on love. You know, a lot of being a Christian is walking in love. Mm-hmm. And that's not always the easiest thing to do. You know, you're a Christian, but at the end of the day, you're human too. People are going to make you mad. Things are going to make you upset, you know, and the world is constantly going to try to take you out of that love. Yeah. It's going to try to change your mental or shift your spirit in a different way. So the next person you meet, you know, you're not going to be walking in the Spirit of God when you meet them, you know, and love is so important. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you know, for whoever will believe in him shall have everlasting life. Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Yes, God is loved. He created the emotion of love and gave us the ability and the capacity to be and live in it for a reason, you know. And I think the biggest part of being a Christian is being able to walk in love, you know. Verse 24, it talks about crucifying the flesh. The flesh is you. The flesh is that ego. For me, it was that ego. The flesh is the vices. The symbol of crucifixion, you know, is obviously Jesus, and that's what we base our faith off of, our faith off of. His crucifixion gave us the ability to be saved.
Yeah.
It is the reason why we're here right now, you know. And when they talk about crucifying the flesh, let's go ahead and change the to crucify your flesh. Mm-hmm. That's not easy to do.
No.
It'll spite up and not only crucifying that flesh, you gotta walk with that burden.
Yeah.
You're going to fight that every day. Like I said earlier on this podcast, that journey, that walk is not easy.
Yeah.
What are some things, Miss Candace, you had to sacrifice? And what are some ways that you, you know, help yourself, encourage yourself to be able to get over that mountain, to crucify that flesh?
To crucify. Now you could put this in the context of relationships, right?
Oh, yes.
Most people, to me, I think when you hear like crucifying the flesh, you think about sex and sex before marriage and abstinence and that type of thing, which is, you know, a part of it. But I also think it is also things like, what are we seeking, right? Like, are we seeking that God, you know, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? So when we think about crucifying our flesh, I think sometimes that's also crucifying, like, the things that we want, such as maybe it's a job, maybe it's a career, maybe it is notoriety, maybe it's a position. Mm-hmm. But if you're not starting with, like, what you're seeking, that is part of, like, when you talk about crucifying flesh. Like, so you asked me specifically. So right now, one of my things is my health, right?
Okay.
So part of crucifying the flesh is saying, I don't really want to work out. Mm-hmm. I really want to eat what I want.
Oh,
Those two things don't go together.
You got me there. Hold up.
So when I say to myself, like, you're not going to control me today, right? Food, you're not going to control me today.
I like how
all of these things, right? Mm-hmm. You just say that is like, because I want like greasy cups and all the, fried food. I cut that out. Was it hard? Yes. Mm-hmm. Candy. I love candy. I haven't done that one yet. But that would be my specific thing. And everybody's is different, of course. But for me, mine's is more so eating.
I like how when you talk about like that example of you talking to your flesh saying,
sure do.
You're not gonna have control
all
over
the
me.
Time.
I'm not gonna do. It's so important, the words you say.
Mm-hmm.
There's power in your words. You know, God has given us defenses. You know, the Bible. He will always watch our back, and all of this. Or Scripture. Scripture is our defense. It's our sword. But he only gave us one weapon, and it was the sword. Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I think the power of your tongue, the power of being able to recite Scripture over those times, you know, we could call it the enemy trying to distract you. We could call it, you know, your flesh trying to come over you.
Mm-hmm.
That's your only weapon.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful. You do need to speak over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You do need to pray. You do need to get on your knees and ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You do need to be in that word.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Mary, what do you think about that?
I totally agree with Candace.
Yeah.
And I don't want to add to that is also how we choose to react to things that happen in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Go ahead.
You know, someone might have ticked you off.
Yeah.
And
amen.
Your initial reaction is not to respond to them in kindness and in patience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to control yourself.
Yeah.
And I think just actively practicing, that's not the way God has called me to respond to that.
Yes.
So maybe I just shouldn't.
Yeah.
You
and
do need to be that big.
Right. And it's not that easy.
Yeah.
Nope.
But he also said, someone slapped your cheek.
Yeah.
Turn the other one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Try to sue you. Yeah. Give him the cloak.
Yeah. I think when you say that, it's very sorry, Jay, but I'm just.
No, go ahead.
So, God, you know, the way that he designed us, right?
Mm-hmm.
With everyone being so different, that has never been my thing. I'm probably the least flustered person. It takes.
Yeah.
When I say a lot, literally.
I agree with you.
A whole lot, right?
Yeah.
So, that wouldn't be my thing.
Yeah.
Right? I wouldn't say, it's hard for me to turn the other cheek or to not respond.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to be unbothered by stuff just because of that. However, just today my mother was upset. This is an example.
Yeah.
Upset with me because she thought I should have responded to something.
Hmm.
We had an argument about me not responding because I said, Mom, it's not worth me responding. Well, something should get you going. I said, Mom, it's
maybe
not,
just not that.
Just not that. But then as we were talking, I was like, well, maybe part of it is that whole, you might need to say something sometimes and not let everything just kind of, you know, and that might not be this question, but even in talking about what you were saying about that, I think everyone just has a different thing that they try to work through.
And I agree with that.
Uh-huh.
And even when we're trying to control ourselves on whether or not we're going to respond, how we respond,
is it
going to be kind?
Yeah.
One, is it needed?
Is and it needed? That's right. That's,
to expound on that just a little bit, there's a difference between knowledge and understanding.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
How can I break this down for it to be easier? I'm going to use a remote control. I've actually heard this theory by Deacon Scott Love on the Louisville campus. I do classes with him.
Mm-hmm.
He says knowledge and understanding is like a remote. Knowledge is knowing how to use the remote to change the channel. Like, you can scroll up and down and change it. But understanding and wisdom, sorry, when I say understand, I mean wisdom. Wisdom is knowing exactly what buttons to press to get to that exact channel, knowing when it's going to come on, knowing that. And there should be a focus on us as Christians. Yes, we need to learn the knowledge. We need to get the basics, you know, and how to act, you know. But the understanding of, okay, this person is making me mad. Mm-hmm. I know myself. I know what I'm trying to do. I know my walk. I know who's around me. I know who's looking at my walk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I need to do this. Let me not respond in this way. Mm-hmm. Oh, you think I should have responded as a Christian? Well, the Bible says this. Well, in my own personal experience, you know, I don't want to add to that fire. Who knows what that person has going on within themselves? Who knows who's watching you, you know? And as a Christian, you do need to walk that walk and humble your flesh for reasons like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's move on to verse 25. Mm-hmm. Living and walking in the Spirit. And that was just the perfect junction. Living and walking in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You have to walk with the guidelines. The guidelines of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, fullness, gentleness, and self-control. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, Miss Candace, but I think you're walking very well in self-control.
Maybe not the other ones. Let me see
what you're doing. And that's okay. Yeah. Y'all, this just came to me. Uh-huh. I know, like, we're always full with God's Spirit, but like each fruit has a different season, like in the world. Absolutely. Right.
Wow. Listen,
yeah,
y'all, so like
right now mine is patience. Jeez, that's not always been the case. I'm very patient.
Right.
I'm very impatient right now, that's honest.
Right. You're in your patient fruit season.
Yeah. Right. Because I have been patient.
Yeah.
So I'm like, now I'm getting impatient. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is also affected why I have to be more in charge and have more self-control. Because impatience will make you lose self-control. Yeah. They all go together.
they all go together.
So, yeah, like you're right. It is.
To circle back when Miss Candace was talking about love, because there's a reason why love was the first one in there. All of that stems from love. You need to have love to be able to do that, to be patient, to be kind, because these folk will make you mad. And personally, God's been testing me on love, because you know there's some folk at work. There's some folk at work who, I'm gonna just say that right there. Amen. And it is my duty as a child of God to love said people. Now they could get on your nerve, and sometimes you gotta love them folks from a distance, but that's still love.
That's still love.
I'm work over here. I'm gonna do me. You just walk to that corner. It's all love.
But I said that to, because nine fruit, it sounds like a lot to be nurturing, right?
Yes.
But I just want to say to our audience that you do not have to work on every fruit at the same time.
God doesn't ask you to be perfect.
Doesn't ask you to be perfect.
Prevailing.
He asks you to prevail and to be diligent.
Yeah.
So even if right now you are in a season that you are lacking patience, you could still walk your life in love.
Sure. Yeah.
We're just or even we can put this in gym, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't go work out your legs every day.
No.
Sometimes you gotta give your legs a break.
Sometimes
they're still strong.
Yeah,
they're just not your focus.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think when we believe and understand that God will sustain us even when we're going through different seasons of our life, the fruit that we have already nurtured will still prevail when we go to a new fruit.
Like it compensates for it.
Yeah,
that's that self control. And I was thinking, actually, maybe that's why this is when it comes in handy. Because I've always been very like I'm serious, but these days I'm like, it's a good thing I do have good self-control,
right?
Yes.
Because I'm being tested in the other areas. So
you about to crash out if you didn't have it.
You would never know, but in my mind I'm like, listen, like, would people know? Maybe not, but thank God that I do have that to compensate.
God got you.
Yeah, because I guess he's like, no, you ain't gonna have everything now.
Let me, 'cause Let me end up on some encouragement right before recapping everything. God has created everybody in his image, but God has also given you a gift. There's tests online out there, and you might not know, you might already know what your gift is. If you're feeling unappreciated, if you're feeling less than, if just know that God has given you a gift, and I challenge you to seek out and find that gift. It could be patience, it could be the ability to speak, the ability to sing, it could be the ability to lead, it could be the ability to be a follower. But God has given you that gift for a reason, and not only do I challenge you to go find and seek that gift, but I also want to challenge you to let that gift grow and see where it will take you. To recap over everything, I just want to make sure y'all really hit these big points. Being born again in the spirit and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We talked about baptism. We talk about different instances in the Bible where being born again, that's a natural symbol. And that's very important in the walk as a Christian. Being born again, it's symbol of the Bible, symbol in the Christian, and letting the spirit that you were born again grow into fruit. You know, if if you're a gardener, if you put a seed in there, you don't just want it to grow and be prickly. You want to see those fruits. You're going to nurture that seed. You're going to water it. You're going to make sure it has everything it needs. And you need to do the same in God. You need to be in your Bible. You need to read. You need to pray. You need to have this desire to want, even when you don't want to necessarily grow in God that day, to want, you know, meditate on God. I like to just sit there and just think about God, be in the presence. You know, when you feel the Holy Spirit, just take time to step back and truly feel and be thankful for it. And when you grow, when you receive the Spirit and you let that Spirit grow into fruit, you need to continue to live and walk. You need to live and walk in love. Love will lead you to everything that the Spirit will give you, you know, the patience, the gentleness, the kindness, you know. But as a Christian, you must love everybody. Ms. Amira, Ms. Candace, I love you all.
Love you too, Jay. I love you too.
You said that a little feisty. Hold on.
No, I was like,
Are you sure? Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking about our path of love.
And I want to pass the love to everybody else, to all of our listeners, to the audience. Thank you for listening to this podcast. We love y'all. Next episode, we're going to go in depth on the talk to as our journey as a Christian. I'm real excited, y'all. Thank you for listening to our podcast. I'm Jaden. I'm here with Miss Amir and Miss Candace. Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
When the sun comes shining through, I just really want to spend some time with you. G-O-D, man, it's only you and me, just the two.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. We know that God has called you, and we hope that this podcast has helped you grow closer to him. But before we end, I want to ask y'all a question. Have you been born again in the Spirit? And have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If not, you could call area code 502-583-6798 or email info@ssclive.org. There are decision counselors, prayer warriors, and many more resources waiting for you when you're ready to take that next step forward towards God. I also want to invite you guys to follow us on Instagram at SSC College Ministry or Twitter, now commonly referred to as X, at SSC College 1926. We hope that you have enjoyed today's podcast, and we're looking forward to seeing y'all again. Goodbye, everyone.